Welcome to the October 13th edition, 2013, of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. And today we're going to be continuing our conversation, asking how do we stay focused on the world we want. In upcoming shows, we're going to be drawing a lot on Karl Popper's The Open Society and Its Enemies, both volumes 1 and 2. Because I believe he can help us think through this juncture that we stand in the human story, and help us develop clarity about how to proceed as a global humanity. And although my bringing Karl Popper to the table reflects what I believe to be a need to come to consensus of humankind generally, I also bring him selfishly, as a way to think through certain areas of disagreement. But I'm beginning to suspect that my disagreement, where it exists, is partly style, partly focus, what we're looking at, but very little to do with substance. As to style, at first, I must admit, I thought I gravitated more to Tolstoy, Leo Tolstoy, whose need to speak for a living expression, a living existence of the notion global humanity, deeply resonates with me. But now, in retrospect, I think the two are perfectly consonant. Though Popper seems slightly more resigned to the state's existence, saying that we must concentrate on improving the conditions we find in the particular state that we're born in, despite his critique of sovereignty. Although with complete assurance, we can say that both are supreme humanists. Though Tolstoy may have been a humanist in a broader sense. Quote, whoever you may be, Frenchman, Russian, Pole, Englishman, Irishman, or Bohemian, understand that all your real human interests, whatever they may be, agricultural, industrial, commercial, artistic, or scientific, as well as your pleasures and joys, in no way run counter to the interests of other peoples or states, and that you are united by mutual cooperation, by interchange of services, by the joy of wide brotherly intercourse, and by the interchange not merely of goods, but also of thoughts and feelings with the folk of other lands. Understand that the question as to who manages to seize Wei Hai Wei, Port Arthur, or Cuba, your government or another, does not affect you, or rather, that every seizure made by your government injures you by inevitably bringing in its train all sorts of pressure on you by your government, to force you to take part in the robbery and violence by which alone such seizures are made or can be retained when made. Understand that your life can in no way be bettered by Alsace becoming German or French and Ireland or Poland being free or enslaved, whoever holds them. You are free to live where you will. If even you be an Alsatian, an Irishman, or a Pole, understand too that by stirring up patriotism, you will only make the case worse. For the subjection in which your people are kept has resulted simply from the struggle between patriotisms, and every manifestation of patriotism in one nation provokes a corresponding reaction in another. Understand that salvation from your woes is only possible when you free yourself from the obsolete idea of patriotism and from the obedience to governments that is based upon it, and when you boldly enter into the region of that higher idea, the brotherly union of the peoples, which has long since come to life, and from all sides is calling you to itself. If people would but understand that they are not the sons of some fatherland or other, nor of governments, but are sons of God, and can therefore neither be slaves nor enemies one to another, those insane, unnecessary, worn-out, pernicious organizations called governments, and all the sufferings violations, humiliations, and crimes which they occasion would cease. And that's from a piece he wrote shortly before his death in 1910, Patriotism and Government. Now that's authentic talk. I would but add that God goes by many names, and to my mind, they all mean the earth. Tolstoy shows us why art in potential is such a threat, how in reaching out to all humanity, it leads us to see that state claims of ownership of us are patently illegitimate.